This episode of the Fresh Start Family Show is brought to you by our Quick Start Learning Bundle, how to build a compassionate, firm, and kind discipline toolkit that works with kids of all ages. Head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your Quick Start Bundle so you can get going today on building up a strong, compassionate discipline toolkit in your home. Well, hey there, listeners. I'm so happy that you're back for a new episode. I'm your host, Wendy Snyder, positive parenting educator and family life coach. And today on the show, you are going to get to meet Miss Jackie Leonard, who came on the show to talk to me about the life-changing magic of creative writing for mothers. And this conversation was just really rich. I know you guys are going to enjoy it. So let me just take a moment to tell you a bit about Jackie before we get started. Jackie Leonard is the founder of Motherscope and host of the Motherscope podcast. And she is a lifelong writer and Southern California native now based in Oregon, whose early experiences of motherhood acted as a catalyst for the birth of Motherscope, a community of moms who inspire and uplift one another by writing and sharing their own stories. It was the birth of her first child in 2017 and her experiences in those early days of motherhood that inspired what would eventually become Motherscope. The things that make Jackie feel most powerful are the community of women who surround her, writing, and her children. Her garden, cooking, and husband bring her peace. So you guys, you're going to love this episode. She and I just talked about so much about, you know, when it comes to writing. I met Jackie years ago. She's always been someone who inspires me. Her spirit is just very sweet and soft and just, she's just a delight to be around. So without further ado, you guys, help me welcome Jackie to the show and enjoy this episode.
Well, hey there, I'm Stella. Welcome to my mom and dad's podcast, The Fresh Start Family Show. We're so happy you're here. We're inspired by the ocean, Jesus, and rock and roll, and believe deeply in the true power of love and kindness. Together, we hope to inspire you to expand your heart, learn new tools, and strengthen your family. Enjoy the show!
Well, hey there, families, and welcome back to a new episode of the Fresh Start Family Show. Welcome to the show, Jackie. I'm so happy to have you.
Hi, Wendy. I know I've been looking forward to this. It's been a long time coming because of just illnesses and all kinds of stuff. But you said a while ago that it'll happen when it's meant to happen. And I feel excited about our talk today. And it feels like it did come at a good time.
I agree. It always comes at the right time, right? And families, today we are just going to be having a beautiful conversation with Jackie about the life-changing magic of creating creative writing for mothers. And Jackie, I shared a little bit about who you are and what you do and all that good stuff before we started recording so listeners could learn a little bit more about you. But I always love to start off by just hearing your story. Like, how did you become so passionate about writing? And your work is so beautiful, and the curation of stories that you have put together over the last few years and the way you inspire Essa's moms to write is just really beautiful and unique. So tell listeners how you got here. What is your story that led you to this place to be so passionate about it?
I don't know. It feels a little silly starting from when I was so little, but I really do call myself a lifelong writer for a reason. Mm-hmm. And more than that, I would say even before I learned how to write, I've been a storyteller. So I remember being so young that I knew I couldn't read and write. So probably before first grade or kindergarten, and still making up stories for the younger kids in my family and telling them, pretending that I could read a book and just like making up stories from the pictures on the pages. And so it's just something that's innate or just a part of who I am from an early age. But then as I learned to write and became better at it, I just found myself again, naturally turning to it to express myself and also to process. And I just recently, for a project I'm working on, went back and read over some of my old journals from when I was in high school, which I have not wanted to do for a really long time.
No way,
but,
really?
I mean, I was just doing it to have a conversation with myself. It was a way for me to process what was going on in my life, ponder things. I mean, it's been a companion and a tool that I've used throughout my life. And so, I mean, that's why I do it, and I continue to do it today. And I mean, maybe we'll get into this a little bit more deeply in a bit, but after I became a mom, you know, I'd spent all of my academic career studying writing and feeling like I didn't know how to really do it professionally beyond school. And after I became a mom, it was like, writing is what I've done since I was a little kid. It's the thing that lights me up. I need to go back to that. And so that's, in a nutshell, kind of my identity as a writer and a person. Yeah.
I love it. And then when did you create or found Motherscope? Because we met at an awesome women's entrepreneur retreat, let's call it, in the most beautiful winery. That was such a fun weekend. Remember that weekend? I feel like we had met before, but we really got to spend time together that weekend when we were at that event. I mean, Temecula, California, it was a gorgeous weekend. We had the best wine. But I remember, like, was that when you were just forming Motherscope? Because that was probably a few years ago, or has it been longer than that? Because you became a mom 5 years ago, right?
Yes. So it was about like, that was in its like first year of incubating, coming out. Like I think about that retreat fondly. It was a really special experience. And I met some really great people, including you at that and had some amazing conversations. But what I really remember about that weekend, or it was, I don't know, that few days that we were away was, it was my first big time away from home. As a mom to, at the time, 1.5, 2-year-old now. He was like 2. So I spent like 2 to 3 days away from home focusing on something that I was trying to grow and passionate about. And it was really special. What really happened was I was working as a paralegal before I had my son. I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And up until the day before I gave birth, I was working. And I had planned to return in 6 weeks. And I worked for a small law firm. And my boss said, you can bring your baby with you and you can work in the back office. And I thought, sure, I'll do that. Like, you know, and I was working so much. And I remember feeling like I wore it like a badge of honor, how much I could work, and all the way to the end of my pregnancy. And my son was born a little bit earlier than expected. I was going to take a few weeks off before I had him. And he came at 37 and a half weeks.
No time and for you. Don't you hate that?
You're like, absolutely no rest, no time, nothing. And he was a low birth weight. So he needed a lot of supports to be fed. We were pumping and doing tube feedings and
straight into fear mode. Did you have any pediatricians who were like, you need to do something? Like, I swear the pediatricians would talk to us like our baby was dying. And I'm like, is this common? Like, and then the milkmaids would come in, I'd call them, and they'd be like, you're fine. Just keep nursing. Everything will work out. And then the doctors would look at you like, no, something is a problem. And I'm like, what the fudge is happening here? Like, it was straight into fear mode. Did you have that experience at all?
If I had to think back there, I'm sure that I had some things being said to me that were fearful. Most of it actually came from me. And I was really fortunate in my entrance to being a parent. Everything was like kind of crazy, but I did have a midwife. I had planned to have a home birth with my first. I had a midwife. I picked her because she had been around for a long time. She was very knowledgeable. I felt like I trusted her 100%. And so when I had him, my son was born, it was a precipitous birth. She didn't even make it home. He was born. This is a whole new story. But he was born as she was on the way. The doula called and was like, you need to get over here. It's happening a lot quicker than I thought. She's in the car driving on the phone with her. And my son is born. So
in the car?
In our home.
Why was no one there with you?
Yes. My husband's standing there. The doula's standing there. And nobody. Anyway.
Yeah.
But with the midwife and her experience and her connections in the area that we were living at, San Diego County, she knew a pediatrician. She's like, do you have a pediatrician yet? Oh, I was like, no, not yet. I was going to call the one, you know, you told me, but I hadn't yet. And so she gets her on the phone, demands to speak with her. The like nurses are kind of like, oh, no. Like, no, I need to talk to her. So they go over like the vitals and everything of my son. They talk, have a plan. And she said, okay, you're going to see the pediatrician tomorrow. everything's looking good here. She set me up with donor milk and all this stuff, a lactation. She just set me up with everything, put me at ease that he was good. Everything else looked good except for him being very small. We were going to like feed him a ton in the first week, get his weight up. And they came and visited me every day. I went and saw the pediatrician. Yay. They like worked together. So I was very cared for in that regard. And yet it was still like a shock to my system. So
yeah.
So I can only imagine, you know, but
yeah,
you know, fast forward 5 or so weeks into parenting. And I was like, my boss texted me and was like, let's have a meeting to, you know, make a plan for you coming back. And I was just like, I just had gotten my son in a feeding schedule where he was breastfeeding finally after 5 weeks of pumping and all that. And I was terrified that we were going to go backwards because of, you know, the transition to work. I was not sleeping. I was like barely lucid. Mm. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, there's no way I can go back to that. Like, there's no way I can take my son to work. There's no way that I can go back into that world. It's way too much for me right now. And I made a decision at the time to leave, to step away from my job. It wasn't a job that I was like passionate about, that I saw a long-term future in. So I'm not saying that I maybe would have made that same decision if it was something that I really wanted to, you know, continue. But in that time, it just felt like the right decision. And I told myself, because I'm such a working person, like I can't slow down, that I was going to take that year off with my son, but for him, for him, but also to figure out what it was that I really wanted to do. Because at that point, I had kind of bounced around in a few different careers. I had taught as a high school teacher. I had done other things, and I still didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I was kind of looking at this time as like a place to find clarity, and. Yeah. I just started doing what I knew, which was writing stories and collecting stories. And because I was a new mom, I was really interested in stories that I didn't normally hear. I felt like my experience as a parent and giving birth were very different than what I had expected. And so I just was naturally gravitating to putting that out in the world.
Yeah, it is amazing, right? Like that draw to like, it, you know, it's just so fascinating. I don't know how to say it. You said it really well, but like we joke that we can't sit still or whatever, but it's also just a draw to have like purpose and meaning like outside of motherhood, right? Like it's a beautiful thing and we love it, but there's also just so much joy that comes from doing other things that complement it. So yeah, it comes back fast, right? You in your head often, you're like, I'm just going to soak this up and be with my child for the first year. And then there's this little inner bit that's like, oh, what else are we going to do? What can we do now? What's next? And
yes,
it sounds like that just blossomed for you at that time of your life. That's so cool. And yeah. And I love the way that you described it earlier, that it's a companion. What did you say? You said writing has been a companion and a tool. So I love that. It's like, to me, that just speaks like it brings comfort, but it also is a way to like express and use your voice. And I'm sure, you know, for so many, it's processing emotions and moving through stuff, because it's like and I'm really interested to learn all about your work, but especially like the creative side, because I feel like I'm more likely to be able to write. And I've always been more likely to read when it's like nonfiction, and it kind of just flows and it feels like it's, you know, you can process things. And then once you write it down, you're like, oh, I see what's happening here. I'm learning from this. But then there's the creative side that like, I've never really explored that much. And like to think about like creative writing, I actually watched my dad over the last like probably 15 years try to become a creative writer. And it was really fascinating. And then sitting down with this conversation with you today, I just started to think about that. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so interesting. He was really going down that route. And you know, he just used it as a hobby, but there's just so many sides of it that is really fascinating. So cool.
When you said that you said you're grandfather?
My dad.
When your dad was writing, do you mean that he was like writing stories more like, or poetry, or I'm curious to hear what he was doing.
Yeah, it was stories. He was trying to publish some, I remember. This was probably like 7 to 10 years ago. He was taking like writing classes, and it's so sweet. I feel like as time goes on, like, I feel like I've done more and more discovery of my parents, right? Like, I spent my teen years just like wanting to get the hell out of there. And then, like, I don't know, just it's taken me a while. And as they get older, and I'm like, oh, I go home and I'm like, you know, you get older and you become fascinated in this stuff. But he's like, he's taking painting classes now. And he's like this really quiet Quaker man from the South. And he's just a really interesting guy. But yeah, I'm just seeing now that he has this like huge creative side to him.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool. But yet he somehow ended up in like, as like a computer, in like the computer processing world, which makes no sense because my dad like literally can't even function like a cell phone or a computer. He like loses his mind. I'm like, what in the world? Like, somehow you were sent down the wrong path. And he was like basically miserable in his career his whole life. But then to see that there's this side of him that just like really loved creative writing and art and all the things. So, and yeah, and I love, like I said, I love to write. I do a ton of, like, when I'm writing emails and like speaking to people in my community, or if I'm writing blog posts, it seems to just flow. But I do wonder, you know, what would like the creative side look, but I think we're going to get there. But let's just talk a little bit about why creative writing is such magic, right? So I think of all of our listeners, and I think, you know, we have so many moms who are just in the heavy season of motherhood, right? Where there just seems to be not enough time to do anything. You barely shower some days. It's like between making lunches and taking the kids to and from school and sports and your work schedule and marriage and just all the things. Like, I'm sure for some, it might be laughable to think like, I'm going to create a writing habit. But at the same time, like, let's just talk a little bit about why it is so magical. Let's chat for a hot sec, openly and honestly, about what your discipline toolkit looks like in your home right now. If you're anything like most parents, you're relying on the hand-me-down set you inherited. Timeouts, spankings, threatening of spankings, taking iPads away, 3-2-1 countdowns, groundings, taking away toys, e-bikes, iPhones, any or all of those kind of tactics that create a total relationship strain and don't even work long-term to end your child's misbehavior for good. Meaning, you might spank your child or send them to timeout today for being, air quotes, mean to their sister or disrespecting you, but then 3 days from now, they're repeating the same misbehavior, which causes you to flip your lid because you know they know better. I want to help you learn a new way so you could end the vicious cycle that's keeping you stuck as a parent and causing you to feel super frustrated that nothing is working to get your strong-willed, stubborn child to behave better. My team and I have recently completely refreshed our Compassionate Discipline Quick Start Learning Bundle to help you learn a new way to teach your kids important life lessons, a new way to help your children learn from their mistakes and take responsibility for their actions. You can just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and I'll personally send you a message with a link to download this free bundle. I'm going to help you shift out of a punishment mindset and into a compassionate discipline one where you fully trust that connection-based, firm and kind discipline tools are all you need to be a strong leader in your home who holds your kids responsible when they misbehave, but does it in a way where they are learning the vital life skills they are missing when they mess up. So again, just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline. To grab your free bundle now. I am so excited for you to shift out of feeling guilty and shameful when you lay your head on your pillow at night and shift into feeling confident and proud of the way you handled yourself as a parent, even when you were wildly triggered and upset about the mistake your child made. Okay, I'm excited for you to dive into this free resource. I'll see you in my DMs and inside the free discipline bundle.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
And the first thing that we were going to chat about, Jackie, is how we can really preserve our legacy by writing it down, and how our story is important and will be important to our children's origin story and like our children and their grandchildren and all the things. So let's talk a little bit about the act of preserving, because this is, we talk about legacy a lot here at Fresh Start Family. And it reminds me actually of positive parenting in general, because a lot of times, like, what you do today will make such a difference in 15, 20, 30 years from now, right? Like, but it's so easy to like, wait, not do things. And then like in positive parenting work, you're like, oh shit, your kids become teenagers and you're like fully, you're disconnected. They're lying, cheating, stealing, you're fighting, you're grounding them all the time. You're like, how do we get here? It's because you didn't spend the last 10 years like doing something that was going to preserve the relationship, blah, blah, blah. Basically, I don't know. That's why, but when people lean into this work and they start practicing slowly but surely, and they prioritize it and they find joy in it, like all of a sudden, once they have teenagers, they're just so set up for success and joy and connection and actually like enjoying being a parent to teenagers. And then as they become young adults, it all just goes from there. So, but talk to us about this idea of legacy through writing and recording your story.
Yeah, well, part of the reason why I asked you about your father and you know, just a little bit more details there is because as you were talking, I thought about my grandpa who passed away about a year and a few months ago. And I didn't know this about him until I was an adult. He was an engineer, so also somebody who was not, you know, characterized as being a creative person. But he was somebody who, for as long as I knew, and much longer, was writing his own memoirs. And I don't know why he never fully explained like his goal with it, but he did it to, I think, help. I think it helped his memory over time. And it also allowed him to record the life that he had lived. And I think about that a lot of times when I think about legacy, I think about the fact that my maternal grandmother suffered from dementia, you know, and so I think there's been a part of me, because of what I've seen in my family and other people's families, that's been really invested in the idea of preserving stories, because I see what happens when, you know, like you said, 10 years, 20 years go by and we haven't done it. Or when a family member is gone and we can't ask them anymore what happened. When I think about stories and writing, I think if that story is written down, then it's preserved, it's there. And if we just rely on a person to tell us something, we don't know. I mean, life happens, right? Things happen. Somebody can be gone and we'll never have a chance to have that story. Obviously, we can't control what happens out there. But for me, as a person who is now a mom, I think about my sort of responsibility to sit down and write what I'm witnessing about my children, what I'm going through, so that they will be able to look back on that and read it possibly in the future and know, you know, who their mom was more than they will as like the role that I played in their lives, and also know their own histories. Cause I'm living right now with them during times that they are not going to be able to remember when they're older, or remember as clearly maybe. And I can record that part of their life for them. And so I know that with social media now and pictures and videos, there's this, people are preserving in a way, but just having lost people in my life, I just feel like pictures and videos are special, but they're, you know, they say pictures say 1,000 words, but they really don't. You know, you look at a picture, you see the smiley faces. I look at a picture of like, you know, our family pictures that we took a couple years ago. And I'm like, I remember all the chaos that went into it. You don't see that in the picture, right?
It was hell, the family photo shoot. That's what's not written on that. But we would never write about that. We would never preserve that.
You know what I mean?
No, but really like riffing on that though, Jackie, like the reality, right? Like of motherhood, to share it in a way that like, you know, I can just I can just, what a gift it would be to your kids if you, you know, like those, you shared somehow about those rocky moments, right? Mm-hmm. Or like the families that are in my work, like the rocky moments, always there's always a beautiful ending, because we learn and we teach how to make amends. We learn how to use mistakes as opportunities to learn, but like all those moments can become beautiful to record, even if they were crap and every single photo shoot known to man has been a crap. I think I've done like 6 of them and every single one was stressful except for one. We let the kids wear whatever they want. Stella had like a wedding veil on as like a 4-year-old. She had like plastic, like Irish, like jewelry and like old like tattoos on, and they were so happy. Like, but that was the only photo shoot that's not been stressful.
Okay,
so I love all this, Jackie. So as I was listening to, like, I love the responsibility part, right? And I think sometimes, you know, we can just get so buried in the task that I think that it can be so joyful too, right? Like, and I know you do too, but like when you read back your stories or your memories or your experiences or your thoughts, it's so emotional, right? Like it's like an example of how to create your own joy. So This month in our private membership community, at the time of this recording, we do like a 14-day gratitude challenge where every day we document 10 things that went great, that we're grateful for, that the kids are learning, we are changing, like anything you can see, you write it down. And it's just, it's pivotal, right? Like once you get it down and you read it, and also when you read other people's, it just affects you, right? And you realize, like, even if you had a crap day, or if you're in a really tough season with a toddler or sickness everywhere, whatever it may be, that there is so much joy to be found. And I think that's what can come from recording like legacy type of stories too, right? Whether it's birth or postpartum or, you know, the season, this or that, whatever it may be. I actually shared something on social the other day that I can see like this being beautiful in writing too. Even more beautiful in writing, right? Because it's, but I shared, Stella turned 15. And so we've been in this work now for about over 12 years, or almost 13 now. And I was just like, it hit me like a ton of bricks how freaking the Halloween week here is crazy. It's always been crazy. Both my kids have birthdays. We have Halloween in the middle and it's just like, feels like chaos. So everyone goes back to school finally. And I just like exhale. And then it just hits me like, oh my gosh, like I look at this little girl and like, how much we've been through and like how far we've come. We had a crazy birth. I was an absent birth, like unconscious. It's a miracle she survived. It's a miracle I survived. Torn placenta, emergency C-section, just awfulness the first few months. And then the toddler years is just when I almost lost my mind. And then I found positive parenting. And then fast forward with this 13 years. And it's like, oh my gosh, there's this little girl that's not just thriving. She's like, her story and who she is and this like beautiful, strong will that she was blessed with is like literally helping thousands of parents have compassion with their children. And it was just like, whoa, I just kind of recorded it in a oral format. But it was just and I like watched it back and I was like crying. I'm like, this is so beautiful. So that's an example of something that really should be in writing, like those moments when you're inspired, right, to record like how grateful you are or the realizations of how much you've been through. Like I can imagine Stella picking up a story like that in 20 years and just being like, oh my gosh, like my mom and I were intensely connected and there's so much purpose in my life and all the things. It's pretty cool.
Well, I was just thinking about, you know, how much more powerful watching that video is going to be in 10 years or 20 years for you, like you said, mm-hmm. for your daughter. And, you know, I want to like go back to what you said earlier about creative, like how you love to write, but you're, you know, exploring creative writing is something you haven't yet. And I think I believe the act of writing is creative, unless you're like doing writing technically for like a scientific report. If you're writing about an experience you've been through, some bringing emotion. I mean, I feel like anything you probably write for, even, you know, for your families and for the blog posts and things like that, I think you bring in your insight and your emotions and your feelings on certain matters. So that is expressive writing. That is creative to me. And I think when we say the word legacy, it has like some kind of like pressure to it sometimes. But I love that you talked about like preserving memories, just recording memories, writing them down, because that's what it's about. When I thought about like my responsibility and preserving memories, it was more like, I don't want to forget this moment. And I know that time is going to go by fast. Everybody tells me your kids grow up fast. But I know that in the day-to-day, things are crazy. I'm in crisis mode all the time. And I'm experiencing things right now that I know are going to look different in a month, in a year, in 5 years. And I'm not going to remember some of these details. I want to write it down. And to be able to look back on it, like you shared, and see like, oh, I remember that was a really hard time, and read what I wrote. And I was like, oh, I had forgotten about that. That's actually really sweet. Or that was so hard for me. And just a month later, like things got better. I remember that. I feel like being able to reflect on that, even if you're the only person that gets to read that, is a preservation, is you preserving a legacy of your life experiences. I think we don't encourage people enough to do that, to honor their lives, to not just have gratitude, but to see how much we do, how much we do on a day-to-day, how much we grow without even realizing it. And I think writing has done that. I know it's done that for me and so many other people.
Yeah. And we're going to talk next about just how little goes a long way. Even just 5 minutes a day can really connect you to yourself, your thoughts, preserve a memory in an impactful way, and how there's been a study of how 3 consecutive days has the power to heal when you write just 20 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. And I love that it talks about healing there, because it is interesting how much writing can create healing. So it's like oftentimes if you write about a challenging situation, and then you can like, so I'm just thinking about what I see in my group. And that's so interesting that you say all writing is creative, because I'm just so realizing how much writing is such a tool in our community that is so beautiful. Oh my gosh, like it's all clicking for me. I just thought it was like, this is just what we do. We ask questions and then we share success stories. And that's the way you do it. That's the way you get support. And that's the way we've organized our programs. But when you look at our success stories, we have like a Google Doc now of 800 pages of success stories from our students and our Bonfire private community. And it's like beautiful. And the reason why I thought of that it's healing is because when they write like, oh my gosh, I want to come in and share what happened, like, you know, last week or a month ago, I got support on this. I was feeling really stressed out and we were having this challenge. And then like this last week, we had this conversation or this happened, or I responded in this way. And when they pour out their words, it's like, they're realizing how much they've grown, how much like joy they have, how much courage it took to do things a different way instead of just like snapping and threatening their kids. And I'm realizing now like what an act of creative writing, and questions actually are too in some, because you're putting your emotions out there. You're vulnerable. Like our group is very vulnerable, where people are like, you know, you can like sign up to be in our positive parenting programs and come in tomorrow and be like, I smacked my kid. And we're like, oh, sit down. You're welcome here. Like everything, you know, like we're going to help you. Like there's no shame. There's no, like, it's just so open and honest and like, hey, let's just help you get to higher grounds. But I can see just how much courage comes out in just the act of asking a question and admitting like, hey, I'm in a really troublesome state here, or this keeps happening and my spouse and I are so disconnected. So anyways, I just think I'm going to have you riff on this for a little bit of just how a little goes a long way, but it is so beautiful how writing really does have the power to heal. So, but talk to us about this, Jackie, because we're all freaking busy and it's like, I've done this a million times. I'm not going to even go there. When I want to do something, I make it happen. So talk to us about 5 minutes a day.
Yeah. Well, so what I've been doing for, I guess the past couple years now is trying to help encourage moms to, like you said, take just 5 minutes a day to sit down and write. And as a mom, I know that anything that takes a little extra mental energy will make it harder for you to do. So it's like, I don't want to have to think. So I've, you know, on social media, I've shared one word prompts every month as like a little structure to help get the journaling going. It's really just journaling and having one word, I don't know, one of the words, pumpkin, I'm thinking of like Halloween or whatever. Yeah. Could you mean? So like pumpkin, what's the first thing that comes to mind when I hear the word pumpkin? Oh, I'm thinking about how my kids just threw the pumpkin off the deck because it's not Halloween anymore. And we said, let's feed the deer. So they got to, yeah. And so
awesome.
I'm going to write about that. And so you just sit down and write and you set the timer for 5 minutes and whatever came to mind with that word, you sit and write. And a lot of times you end up spending more than 5 minutes because you want to like finish your thought and all that. But you tell yourself, if you really, you know, don't have a lot of time, 5 minutes is enough to just sit there and write down a memory, write down a thought. And that is creative in itself, where you're like, oh, I don't, a bluebird, when would I last see, what comes to mind? Oh, and then you think of whatever, and then you write it down. So that is creative. You're stretching your mind a little bit to write something around that. And I've done it myself. I've put out these prompts before and I force myself to do it, you know, for consistently sometimes. And I go back a year later and read it. And I'm like, wow, like I wrote about this thing that happened that I never would have remembered unless I sat down and write it. So it is really powerful. It seems really simple, but that's all it takes. And I tell everybody, I mean, no matter who you are, you have 5 minutes. Yeah. You have 5 minutes to be able, and what I call it rather than creative writing or journaling is 5 minutes to connect with yourself.
Mm.
Because, you know, I'm speaking about myself, but I spend so much time in my head. How many times do I allow myself to write down what I'm thinking so I can actually look at it and make it real? You know what I mean? And so just giving yourself a few minutes a day to be able to like look at your thoughts and then do something about them. So if my thoughts are very like worrying and anxious, I look at them and I say, oh, wow, I'm really worried about that. What am I going to do about it? Or how am I going to get some support for this? Or I'm writing down all the great things that are going on in my life. And I'm like, oh, wow, things aren't as bad as I thought they were. Or I'm asking the same question. You know what I mean? So like you start to see patterns when you sit there and are able to do it consistently. But I say everybody has 5 minutes. Take 5 minutes off the amount of time you spend on your phone. Take 5 minutes off, you know, add 5 minutes to your nighttime face washing routine. Add 5 minutes to your morning, you know, drinking a cup of coffee or tea before you get out the door. Whatever it is, what I did as a mom of young kids was as soon as I put down my son at the time when I only had one, as soon as I put him down for his nap, I knew he'll at least sleep for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sit down before I do anything else. I have the impulse to like clean or do work or sit down and watch something. I'm going to make myself for 5 minutes, right? And then I'll do the next thing. And that really helped me be consistent because I knew that that was something that more often than not was not going to get compromised and I could get my writing done.
That is so cool. And even just those two prompts you just said, like they sound so silly at first. And then it's like, you know, when you say pumpkin, like instantly, like my son's first birthday and like it would have been my daughter's fourth. We had their birthday parties at the same pumpkin patch for like 2 or 3 years. And it was just like memories flood in and like joy, like makes me just want to cry. Or like the bluebird one, I think of like growing up in Maryland, right? And like through my work, I talk a lot about like things that family legacies that I don't want to pass on, or not family legacies, like generational cycles or chains that I want to break. I don't, but it's like, I don't spend as much time talking about so many of the joyful things of like where I grew up and being in this amazing family, living in the country and growing up, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just like, oh my gosh, I could riff on that for 5 minutes for sure. And like, that is so fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I can imagine how cool that would be. Okay. I have a silly question, and this is coming from someone. So I'm like 45 years old. So I can't even imagine the kids now who are only on the devices typing, but I swear when I write, I'm like, I'm like, oh my gosh, my hand gets tired. Like I want it to go faster. And so like, I only want to, like, I have a tendency to want to write on the computer, but I want to be off electronics. I don't think there's so much of like a thing to do there with it, except for just like slow down and just write, right? But like, does that make sense? I don't know. What are the kids going to do now that they no one's learning how to write?
Well, I'll say a couple things about that because you make a very good point. I have saved a few different, like you brought up the science of the healing, and I can share that a little later too, but neuroscientists have actually found that writing with your hand makes you smarter. So if that's an incentive for you, this was a study related to cursive, but they've also like expanded it to just taking notes in class and writing by hand. And what I appreciate about writing, what writing does for me also, is help force me to be present. I mentioned that I'm like very much like an ideas person and in my head, and I left work. And writing helps me slow down. Writing helps me remember things when my days feel really fast. And so having my making myself do it by hand is just another part of like physically forcing myself to slow down and process. And that's why it's like, you don't need to do it for too long by hand. When I feel like I have a story in mind that I want to write, or, you know, I know I want to write something like a blog post, like you shared, or a message to somebody, I will go on my computer and write it. Right. Like, because it's just easier. And I'm trying to get my thoughts down quickly before they go. But if I'm just writing a process, or I'm just doing this as like a therapeutic thing, I think the writing by hand exercises our brain in a different way, and it's a good thing to just go back to the page and read it. What I will say is I always encourage, especially moms, to write however you can. And the phone, I know we try to avoid screen time, but our phones have an amazing thing called a notes app that I've had moms in my community, moms who've published for Motherscope, who have written amazing things on their notes app while breastfeeding at 3 a.m. You know what I mean? And it was the thing that they could grab because they're holding a baby. They can't grab a pen and paper. They can't get on their computer, but they had an idea or a thought and they wanted to get it down, and they used their phone. And I encourage people to write however you can and whenever the inspiration strikes, because oftentimes we get an idea and we're like, oh, I'll do it later. And then obviously we forget. And so the idea is not to focus on like doing it in a perfect way or a perfect setting or a perfect amount of time. It's just about getting your ideas down. I think there's something about when I think of something that I feel is important and putting it down on a paper or on my phone, that act over and over again is a way of also telling myself that I am important and my thoughts matter and what I'm living is important. And I think those acts, beyond, you know, creative enrichment, beyond whatever, are intentional acts that help us as parents and people.
It is so true. And yeah, anything that can like help our brains, right? I mean, it's like having sounds like we both have grandparents, grandma, I think you said yours is similar. You said dementia, mine actually had Alzheimer's. And it's like, I'm always like thinking, okay, brain, like, what can we do today to preserve this brain? Like, every time I'm always trying to learn new things or exercise my brain in a different way to like, because I've heard some different doctors just speak about different ways that we can like keep it healthy. That is very incentivizing. Thank you. Yeah, that is really good. Awesome. And so over the years, like, I know you guys at Motherscope and in your community, Jackie, have so many ways to support this process. So talk to us a little bit. You mentioned the prompts, like the word prompts, but talk to us a little bit more about, I know sometimes you actually have like monthly prompts. You have a community where you can like, I think I've seen that you guys get together and you might be on a Zoom, but you might have like a half hour where you're just like, I don't know what it looks like. So talk to us about that. And then I do want to know about like publishing too, right? Like, I know two sides, like your published writings are so beautiful. Like the compilations you have put together, whether it's the birth stories, or I know you have a new one coming out soon, postpartum stories, and all of those are beautiful. And then I want listeners to make sure they know where they can get those, but then also how, like, what you recommend with publishing your own, because journals are one thing, but also like, it's kind of fun to think like, what if you actually publish something? So anyways, but let's start with like, what is your community? What are the resources that you provide to help make this easier?
Families, I have a question for you. Would you love to be able to set really strong boundaries and rules with your children and then follow through with consistency and firm kindness? If yes, listen up. I have a program called the Firm and Kind Parenting Blueprint that I'd love for you to go check out. You can learn more over at freshstartfamilyonline.com/firm and kind. Inside of this quick, easy to finish program, I'll teach you 4 steps to really setting those strong rules, but then following through in a way where you're using connection and firm kindness. And what I'll teach you will actually cause your children to want to cooperate with you because they truly respect you and value the rule and the boundary and understand how it serves them, not just something that they have to do or else. And it's just an incredible feeling when you go to bed at night knowing that you followed through on the rules and the strong boundaries in your home without relying on hand-me-down parenting tactics like fear, force, threats, yelling, harsh punishments that really create usually fear in your household, right? We want our children to listen to us because they respect us and because they understand why being part of the team, cooperating well, respecting rules, all those things, why that feels good as a human being. We want to do those things in ways that cause our children to want to respect us, not just because they're scared of us or a consequence. And that's exactly what I'm going to teach you inside this program. So again, head on over to freshstartfamilyonline.com/firm and kind to learn more. But in under an hour, this program will teach you some really effective strategies on how to create agreements with your kids instead of compliance statements, which is where a lot of parents go wrong and why their children don't end up respecting the rules or the agreements that they've made. And then I'm going to teach you how to use empathy. I'll teach you how to engage your kids' critical thinking skills when you tell them to do something and they say no. And then I'm also going to encourage you to understand how to empower your children. When children feel empowered, especially strong-willed kids, they will cooperate a whole heck of a lot easier. Okay? So I want you to go learn about this program and let me know if you have any questions. freshstartfamilyonline.com/firm and kind.
Well, the monthly prompts are just something that I've posted on Instagram every month. And I said, that's like a little just like entryway. It's like a little freebie that I put out there. Now that I've been doing it for a few years, there's people who follow along who've done it now for multiple years and they've shared their writing and stuff. So it's really amazing to just to see that impact of something kind of that I didn't think was that important, but just wanted to put out there for fun. But since May, I launched the Motherscope Writers Club, which is a monthly membership. And we meet 4 weeks out of the month every Wednesday. And we have a 1-hour Zoom that is dedicated to just providing the space, the support, the accountability, and the community for people who want to write. And there's no parameters around who, like, are you a writer? Are you working on something specific for your writing? It's just a place for people to come that they're like, I want to write more, and this is something I want to prioritize. So I'm going to come and do this with other people to hold me accountable. So we've been doing this since May, and each week is a little different. So like what the first week of the month is, I call it the mom salon. It's an opportunity for us to do like a book club that's realistic. We read something that, you know, I pick out that I think is thought-provoking to share. We read it together or listen to it if it's like an audiobook or a podcast. And then we break out into groups and have a discussion about it. And I say it's like the one time a month you can have adult conversations with other moms about something. Yeah. And I think a lot of ideas come from just conversation. And so we have talks about whatever was discussed in the reading. And there's always writing time at the end. The second week is a creativity workshop. So we do something creative, either related to writing or that can supplement your writing. And there's writing opportunities there. The third week is our writing hour, which is uninterrupted writing time. So we open with a prompt to get everybody warmed up. And then I just play some music and we all write together. It's via Zoom, but it's like really powerful. Cool. Yeah. And then at the end, we can share. And then on alternating months, there's either a live reading, like open mic style. So people come and bring what they've worked on that month and share however length it is. It's always so powerful and special. Because it's a closed community, people feel like, you know, they can share things that maybe they wouldn't share on social media or with other people. And then on the other alternating month, I do a hot seat. And that's an opportunity for people to ask me for feedback on their writing. Or if they're like stuck on something, I have writer's block. I'm trying to finish the story. What's going on? And we talk through it. And people that are listening and participating get a lot out of it because a lot of times the struggles are similar to other people's. So that's the membership, what we do inside it. And I'm just blown away seeing what, you know, the moms in our community are able to do. And also the way we all support one another and encourage one another, the way people find time in the pockets of their day to show up and write. And my philosophy with every event is come as you are. If there's kids on your lap or whatever, I mean, there's mute buttons, do what you can, listen if that's all you can do, or use it as an excuse to have like an hour out of your day that's just for you. Get a babysitter, have somebody watch your kids, whatever it is that you can and want to do. This is your permission slip to do it. And so I've gotten a lot out of it and every workshop that we've hosted, but the ongoing support has been really special. I mean, I'm sure you know that with the communities that you have. And so that's like the big thing that I offer. I also have a podcast, and Wendy, you've been a guest on the podcast, and I'm revamping it a little bit in a few weeks to focus exclusively on writing and mothers who write stories. So I'll spotlight some famous authors who are mothers who publish books. But more importantly, it's just going to be conversations around writing and the benefits of writing, and also how we write certain stories. Like one of the episodes I'm going to put out, I think in January, is like how to write your birth story. So informational, but also just sharing stories. So that's cool. Going to be my podcast. That's on the podcast. And at the end of every episode, I do leave listeners with a writing prompt at the end based on the conversation, as like a way for, you know, if you heard a story about somebody's postpartum experience, as a listener at the end, you're like, oh, I'm thinking about my postpartum experience. So I kind of challenge my listeners or encourage my listeners at the end, like sit down and spend some time processing what you started thinking about with your own life after listening to this conversation. And so writing prompts are everywhere. So that's the writing spot. You did ask about the magazines. If you go to motherscope.com, in our shop are all the past issues. Every one of them, even though, you know, there's a few that are a couple of years old now, are relevant stories. They're stories about birth stories, the motherhood experience. The one that we put out at the beginning of this year was our generations issue. And you talked about generational cycles. There's a lot of stories that touch on that, generational healing, telling the story of our parents, things like that. It's a really powerful issue that came out this year. And our postpartum issue will hopefully be available for purchase by the end of this year or early next year.
So good. I want all of them, but I especially want to get the generational one. That sounds amazing. Awesome, Jackie. And then as far as like publishing goes, like I guess it just depends where you choose to write, right? Like, so if you write on a computer, then you could think about like taking your making each day or just printing, but I guess there's no, like, it just all depends where you were to write. Right. And I guess thinking about publishing might put a little bit too much pressure on you. Right. Like, so maybe just getting journals that you like the look of to make sure they always can have a place on your bookshelf, maybe.
Yeah. I'm a big advocate for, you mentioned journals, like trying to force yourself. This is something I have to like continue to work on, is putting all my writing in the same spot, filling up a journal, because a lot of times I'm like writing all over the place. I write on the computer, I write on the notepad, I write on my journal, and I'm like, I know I wrote this somewhere and I can't find it. So it's really like helpful if you can try to have it all in one place. And so if you're writing for yourself, or just, you know, like you said, like without the pressure of publishing and stuff like that, journaling, try to keep it all in the same spot. I've been thinking a lot lately about making sure that I separate writing from publishing, because they're two separate things. Yeah. And so as somebody who has gone to school for writing, has worked in publishing, has published stuff myself, it's very easy for me to think of something that I want to write and be like, oh, I want to, you know, it's going to be a book, or I'm going to publish it here and this and that. And I've just put so much pressure on what I'm able to put down on the page. And lately I've been trying to write more personal stuff, write things that are more vulnerable. And if I keep thinking about who's going to read it or where it's going to get published, it makes me shut down. That's like a lot of times where writer's block comes from. And I know for people on social media and stuff, a big fear that with the writers, a lot of times that I deal with is like, well, I'm going to publish this, but like my, you know, family members are going to read this, or friends of mine, I don't want them to think things. And so I just encourage people to write for themselves first. and just let that sit for a while. I think with social media, we have such an impulse when we're excited about something to share it publicly. And a lot of times then we like have regrets and, you know, things happen. And, you know, the writing should just be for you first. And a lot of times that's enough. And then if you do feel compelled to share it in a different way, having a little bit of distance from it will help you determine where's the right space for it. So you might have a blog or decide, feel motivated to publish a blog and share stories there. And that way, if you have some distance, you can always edit a little bit so that if somebody, you know, that if anybody reads it, you're not going to feel like it compromises something that is too hard for you. So I always recommend some distance from it. There's a like old adage, like write from the scar and not the wound, that I think is really helpful a lot of times. So if you're writing about something that's really, really raw, I think you should still absolutely write from it, but I don't know if you should publish from that place. You know, you should let yourself heal a little bit before you make it public. Things like that, just like protecting yourself, protecting what you can handle of criticism. Because once you put it out there, it's open for everybody. Yeah. I know that on some level, we shouldn't worry about what other people think, but you want to protect yourself as well. So it's not too traumatizing putting it out there.
Yeah. And then this is like a super tactical question, or like, but say you write all this journal stuff. Cause you know, the first point we talked about like preserving our legacy, right? And like a legacy is just for you, but it's also for your family, right? So like this idea of like just writing for you, but then going back and realizing, well, maybe some of the stuff I don't want in the legacy. So there's not like apps or something that you could just take a picture of your journal, your handwritten journal, and have it be typed out into something, is there?
Oh, goodness. I mean, I'm sure there are.
Probably people you could hire or something to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that I know. Well, actually, I do want to share. There is on your iPhone, you can actually copy text. And I think it does copy it and like transcribe it into text. Like, I think you can even do it on your iPhone. It might depend
like a handwritten journal.
I think so.
That's interesting. There's got to be something out there. Right. Yeah.
But I'm sure there's things like that out there. I think there's becoming more and more capabilities for pictures to be transcribed. Oftentimes, though, like if you write in a journal, even if it's like 2 pages, if you actually just sat down to type it out, it's not that much. And it could be helpful with like editing. So it's like, if you want to like, you wrote something, you could write it down. What I was going to encourage actually, which might be similar to what you were saying, is if you write some, like I was thinking about your members and when they share something that's really vulnerable or special in your group, I would say like, encourage them to print it out and stick it in their kid's box or whatever, you know, memory books or however they have stuff. I haven't been as organized as I want to be with when it comes to like baby books and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I do have a box for each of my kids. And if every once in a while, sometimes I'll find something that I wrote about one of them and I'm like, oh, that's actually really sweet. I'm going to stick it in their box. So at the end of the day, I know it's in there and it'll get to them in some regard, even if the book is as perfect as I want it to, it's there. And so I don't know if this really answers your question, but I think,
that's helpful.
I think just
that's
really helpful. Print, writing it down, sticking it in a place that, you know, that is dedicated to them or wherever you want it to go, is like a small step in the right direction.
Yes, absolutely. And you could, there's a lot of different ways on that. I can get so realistic with stuff sometimes, but I'm just trying to like get this middle ground. Cause the act of like the right, like I like the idea of like challenging myself to write in cursive. Like I'm going to like take this challenge this week and just see what happens if I try to really force myself to slow down and write in cursive, because I just love the idea of that, because I do find myself wanting to like rush through my writing sometimes. And it's like this odd thing, but there's a lesson there. There's a lesson there. So I'm going to kind of just play around with that this week and see what it brings. But Jackie, this has been so beautiful. Oh my gosh, you're amazing. And your work is amazing. And I can't wait for families who are listening to go find and read more about Motherscope. So tell everyone, where can they find you? What's the best place to start if they are inspired and want to start writing more? Tell everyone where to find you.
Well, I am mostly on Instagram when it comes to the social media channels. That is often a great place to go to just see all of the different things that are going on with Motherscope. The website also, motherscope.com, has everything. I just like relaunched it earlier this year. So
it looks beautiful.
All the different things you can check out. If you want to read stories, they're there. If you want to, you know, listen to the podcast, you can hop there and see that. If you want to check out the shop for the different issues, it's all there for you. And I would love if you did listen to the episode and find out about Motherscope to send me a message on Instagram and just let me know so that we can have a conversation there.
Yeah, that would be so good. Oh, I love it. And we'll make sure we link the podcast where I was on your show, Positive Parenting, I think it's called, with Wendy Snyder. So we'll make sure we link that so they can go find your podcast easily and start listening. But Jackie, thank you so much for being here. This has been really fun.
Thank you so much for having me, Wendy.
All right, listeners, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it for you. As we wrap up here, don't forget to DM me the word shift or head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your free discipline quick start learning bundle. You'll get immediate access to download our extensive learning guide where I'll share 5 ways you can ditch the old school hand-me-down punishment mindset beliefs and thoughts that are causing you to react like a volcano instead of respond like the firm, kind, respectful teacher you are at your core. And then you'll also get immediate access to my on-demand workshop where I'll teach you our 3 core Fresh Start Family strategies that make up a strong, compassionate, discipline toolkit, as well as my favorite logical consequences that not only work with kids of all ages, but do wonders to unite you with your child and strengthen your relationship, even in your kids' worst moments. So pop on over to Instagram right now and just shoot me a DM with the word shift and I'll send you a personal link to download that bundle right away. Or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to get access immediately. All right, thanks for listening and I'll see you inside that free bundle and also inside the next episode. For more information and links to everything we talked about in today's episode, head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/161.
For more information, go to freshstartfamilyonline.com. Thanks for listening, families. Have a great day.